So good morning, Rabbi Sa. Our limud every day of halacha is a zechus refuah for Yosef Dov Echai Leshtav refuah Shlema Berkorov. So we're learning the final inyonim to do with Tkia Shofar during Elul. And one of them is that it's quite common, you do see it from time to time, I haven't seen it lately, but it's quite common that after Tkia Shofar, the boys in shul take the shofar and they practice on it, they mess around with it. And it's quite well known, and it says here that Mekor Chaim brings down, it's not a bad thing that boys should have a shofar and that they should practice to blow the shofar, learn how to blow the shofar. But the boys blowing shofar in shul immediately after davening, taking the shofar and practicing with it, is not, he says it's a schoik v'kalos rosh b'beis ha-kneses, and it takes away from the respect that one should have for the shofar. I mention at least once every year. I mention Rabbi Yosef Freilich, who stood at this lectern here at this moment, and he told us that he got a shofar as a bar mitzvah present. He was living in Gateshead, I think, at the time, and he got a shofar as a bar mitzvah present. He grew up with a shofar, he says, and the shofar became an extension of his mouth. Whenever he put the shofar to his mouth, he could blow perfect koilus without any problem whatsoever. And he said about himself, he said that according to the Board of Governors, or the Board of Management, and the Rabbonim in Monks Beis HaMedrash, he said about himself, they didn't consider me religious enough to be the Baal Koira, to be the Baal Tekea on Rosh Hashanah. He said, I was never the Baal Tekea on Rosh Hashanah, although I was an excellent Baal Tekea, nevertheless, so they didn't consider me choshev enough to blow on Rosh Hashanah, he said, but they allowed me to blow the whole of Elul. So every morning, he said, after Shachris, every morning during Elul, in Monks, he said, I was the Baal Tekea, and I blew perfect koilus. I grew up with this shofar, and I blew perfect koilus day after day after day. Vahi hayoim, after many years, that comes after Shachris, and I put the shofar to my mouth, and I was huffing, and I was puffing, and I was blowing, and I couldn't get a sound out of the shofar.
Changed the battery.
Yeah, he said, I tried whatever I could, and he said, and I was very embarrassed. So in the end, somebody came over to me, and he sort of took the shofar from my hand.
During the week, during Elul.
Yeah, he said, somebody took the shofar from my hand, he said, and he blew perfect koilus. He put it to his mouth, and he blew perfect koilus. So now came the next morning, what do I do? So I was very nervous. He said, shall I try or shouldn't I try? Shall I blow the shofar or not blow the shofar? I decided to blow the shofar. So, and I blew perfect koilus. The next day I blew perfect koilus, and from then onwards, he said, since then, every day during Elul, year after year after year, perfect koilus. So he said, what went wrong that day? He said, nothing went wrong. He said, the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling me, yeah, that you should know that everything is not guaranteed. The Ribbono Shel Olam was sending me a message. You think things are exactly the way it was, that's how it's going to be. You think that everything is, you know, it's perfect till now, therefore it's going to carry on perfect. So the person should know, you need Siyata Dishmaya every day. And the Ribbono Shel Olam was saying, don't take me for granted, don't take the Tzkiyas for granted, you need Siyata Dishmaya day after day in everything that you do.
Start with the Editorial Northwest London, Tuesday, Yud Dalet Elul, 17th of September, Rina Rav of Arye, Berlin, Shlita, Inyone Elul. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Family Feingold, the Chvet Simchon Sum of Hershey, Kopziel, Nerio, and Perle Feingold, Shatichia. Chasta takes place there. Mitzashem, Yehi, Rotsen, Shivnu, Bias, Nemo, Mishra, Vashem, Lissilo. Litzvus, Hashvim, Vacharim, Amen, Chomo, Shasur, Vatsem, Mishra, Vimeiro.
It's a big cover for, you to, for me to be able to speak for the Torah way, and a big thank you to Rav Dudi Iskovitz for, I know, you know, every time I've come here, I think this is the first time I've ever spoken, but each time he tries to get me to come and speak, so I guess it came a stage where you couldn't push it off anymore. I thought, if you don't mind, I'd speak on Inyoni Elul. And with obviously only 2 weeks to go to Rosh Hashanah, so some ideas that we can maybe help us prepare thoughts for Rosh Hashanah, for the Yom HaDin, and something also, an idea which I heard already a couple of weeks ago, and I've been thinking and developing it and thinking a little bit about over the last couple of weeks, the idea of Halachta Bidroch, of certain ways of how we can learn from the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and apply it to ourselves. And I think there's something, again, an important nekuda that will certainly come out. Firstly, again, just a, we know that these parashas that we are going through now certainly prepare us for the Yom HaDin, for Rosh Hashanah. But something which I heard yesterday, that if we look at the parashas, the Kisovoi, Netzovim, Vayelech, and Hazinu, we know that Netzovim has 122 psukim, Netzavim has 40 psukim, Vayelech has 30 psukim, and Hazinu has 72 psukim. And Rav Moshe Wolfson points out, he says, this is a remez for people who want to come and do tshuva. There are different people who want to come and do tshuva. You have those who are the Sadiqim Gemurim, who 30 days, the 30 days available by the time it comes to Rosh Hashanah, they're ready, that's Vayelech, that's 30 psukim. There's some who take a little bit longer. That's Netzavim. 40 psukim. And 40 days. That's from beginning of Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. There are some, we have 52 psukim in Hazinu. Some would take a little bit longer. 52 days is from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Shmini Atzeres. And 122 is till Zois Chanukah. There's some people who take even longer, and it goes to 122 days. That's till Zois Chanukah. That's an idea from Rav Moshe Wolfson. But we know that certainly Elul, on the one hand, it's the last month of the previous year, but it's also an opportunity, or it's also preparation for the coming year, for the coming Rosh Hashanah, the coming year. And we need to make sure that we don't just turn up, that we prepare ourselves for when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. You know, Baruch Hashem, I've come to London, I made a chasna. And we know when it comes to making a chasna, so you prepare. You're ready a few months before, you set a date, you then send out the invitations, you make sure you get the bank loans, right? You make sure that that all the outfits and everything's organized, and the band and the photographer and everything's there in place, right? You don't just turn up to the chasna, even if I've come from the other side of the world, you don't just turn up to the chasna without doing preparation. And therefore, certainly when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we can't just turn up to Rosh Hashanah without doing our preparation. Our preparation certainly is during the Chodesh Elul. You know, there was a clothing store that had a big sign up, 50% sale. 50% sale, right? Everything is half price. Right? A person walks past and he sees the sign and he thinks to himself, okay, you know what? I'll go tomorrow, I'll go next week. And he comes and he turns up and the 50% sale sign is down. So Elul has to be a time that there's a fear of missing out. Every day of Elul is an opportunity as we build ourselves up towards Rosh Hashanah. Elul is a time that we prepare for Rosh Hashanah. We have to make sure we have a clear mind when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. We know that the Mishnah in Brachas tells us that the Hasidim HaRishonim would spend an hour before davening. They would daven for an hour and spend an hour after, and they would do achonah. And the Shemesh Mo points out, and he says, that this is required for everything that we do. Everything that we do, especially when it comes to self-improvement, we have to make sure that we prepare ourselves. That we prepare, and that El is given, it gives us this opportunity to prepare ourselves for Rosh Hashanah. So Ari Cheskel says that if one has to clear one's mind when it comes to Tefillah, so then certainly when preparation for Rosh Hashanah, we have to make sure that we have a clear mind. And Rav Sadok HaKohen points out, and he says that Tishrei and Nisan are the 2 months of the year that we build up the spiritual grain, as if he says, that keeps us going for the next months, for the next 6 months. And therefore, again, this is the Hachonah, this is the time that we have to prepare ourselves. Rosh Hashanah is all about Malchus. It's about making HaKadosh Baruch Hu the king over us, and we have that special ability to coronate the king. When you send out an invitation, so there's a Bal Simcha. You send out an invitation, somebody's inviting you to the Simcha. When it comes to coronation, we are the ones, our names are the top of the invitation, we are inviting, we are the ones who are coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are the ones who are the Bal Simcha when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that we say Malchus on Rosh Hashanah, and the Malchus, the idea is that we are coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Simcha Zissel says that if we walk into Rosh Hashanah and without any preparation, then there's no way we can really accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. And that's what we're doing now, hopefully during this Chodesh. Rabbi Yeruchim says that, points out that Elul is the preparation for Malchus, and the more that we prepare for Malchus during this time, the more we think about the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu during this time of Elul, then that will help us, and that will prepare us for Rosh Hashanah. And the Sifsei Chaim says that the point during Elul is we have to have a listening ear. We have to be in tune. We have to tune into what is coming and what's about to happen over the next couple of weeks. We know that we say in L'David Hashem Oyer V'Ishi, we say, David HaMelech says, Achas Sha'alti Me'es Hashem Oyes Avakesh. And the Nesiv Shalom asks, there's many things that David HaMelech asks for. Achas Sha'alti Me'es Hashem, what does it mean? Achas Sha'alti Me'es Hashem Oyes Avakesh, Shifti B'Veis Hashem. Aren't there many things? So it explains, explains the Nesiv Shalom, he says that what we're asking for is a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're asking for that relationship, Shifti B'Veis Hashem, that there should be no distractions. We should be able to be focused during, this is what David HaMelech was asking, I want to be focused, Shifti B'Veis Hashem, Kol Yemei Chayei. And therefore, this is the month, the next couple of weeks, that's something that we have to try and build that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, build that keshe if we can with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a moshel, there was a story of a boy who was standing on the sand, and he was waving out, there seemed to be some ships going at sea, and he was waving out to some ships, and someone saw him and says, what are you doing? You're standing out there, what are you doing? Who are you waving to? So he says, you see that ship that's over there that's going past? That's the captain of that ship is my father. And I'm waving to him. He says, but he can't see you. So he says, no, he knows that I'm here and I'm waving to him. I know he knows that I'm here and that's what I'm trying to do. Elul is the time that we have to try and show, we're trying to build that kesha, build that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we know, Elul is ani l'doidi v'doidi li. Mishnah Berurah tells us, as we know the famous words in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, ki be'elo arboim yoim, these 40 days, hachuv makabeles liyois liboy korov el doidoi, that tshuva is going to be accepted, to be korov, that will be close, el doido b'tshuva, v'oz doido korov loy. If we are close to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be close to us, l'kabo tshuva samiyava. Now we know, it's interesting, that we quote the Pasuk, ani l'doidi v'doidi li. However, we have that's from Shir HaShirim. However, earlier on in Shir HaShirim, it says, Doidi li va'ani loy. It's the other way around. Doidi li va'ani loy. So what is this? Ani la doidi va'doidi loy or doidi li va'ani loy? So there are many, many explanations when it comes to this, to answer this. The Sfasemes says, and he says, that there's a difference between Elul and Aseret Yemei Teshuva. He says, when it comes to Elul, Elul is ani ledoidi. We take that first step. We make that first step. We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us. During the Yom HaRoim, during Aseres Mei Tshuva, then Dirshu Hashem B'motzeis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that first step. And the Balei Musa explain, and see, the preferred approach is for us to take that first step. That we go and we take that step first in Elul, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows afterwards. Rav Hirsch points out, and he says a beautiful idea on this, related to this. He says that Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are compared to the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like an eagle and its young. And we know that the eagle carries the young on its back. Why? In order to protect them. But how does the young get onto the back of the eagle, says Rav Hirsch. The eagle bends down and the young jump up onto the back of the eagle. So in other words, he says, that is what Elul is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of comes to us, but we have to make that first step. We have to come, we have to jump up, we have to make sure we build the relationship, that relationship with our doidi, with our beloved. And I think one way that we can maybe think about building this relationship is this idea, as I mentioned at the beginning, of Halachta Bedrachov. Halachta Bedrachov, as we'll see, is something that we have to try and emulate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to try and go in the ways, in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Gemara in Soita, where the Gemara in Soita tells us that we learn from a Pasuk. The Gemara in Soita says, Omar Rav Chama, So the Pasuk tells us, what does that mean? Can a person go after, follow the ways of the Shekhinah? We have to try and copy the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara gives us some examples. So let's see what the examples are. Mahu malbish arumim? We know that Kodesh Baruch Hu is malbish arumim. Tichsiv, vayas Hashem elekim la'odom la'ishtoi k'soynes or vayalbishem. So just like Kodesh Baruch Hu is malbish arumim, so too we have to also be malbish arumim. HaKodesh Baruch Hu was biko chaylim. HaKodesh Baruch Hu, we know, visited the sick. So too we also have to go and we have to visit the sick. HaKodesh Baruch Hu was nicham aveilim. HaKodesh Baruch Hu did nicham aveilim. So too, again, we also have to go and do Nechem Aveilim. And finally, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koy V'Meisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Koy V'Meisim. So therefore, we should also go and be Koy V'Meisim. So one of the ways that we have to try and copy the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu does these Meisim, so too, we also have to go and do these Meisim. Now, it's interesting. If you look in the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Gimel, tells us something slightly different. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Lamed Gimel, says, we should be doyma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mahu chanun v'rachum, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chanun v'rachum, af ato hayo chanun v'rachum, so too we should be chanun v'rachum. So, what's going on here? We have two Gemaras that seem to tell us slightly different. One is talking about Maisim, we have to be Malbish Arumim, we have to be Kocholim, Koy V'Maisim. And there's one Gemara which is telling us that Kodesh Baruch Hu is Chanun V'Rachum, and therefore we've also got to be Chanun V'Rachum. Why can't we learn it from the same Gemara? Why can't we learn it from the same Makar? Why can't we have the same, that we have to copy the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why are there two different Gemaras that seem to be telling us, like, two different mahalchim when it comes to what we have to, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'd like to share with you an idea that I heard in the name of Rav Asher Weiss. And Rav Asher Weiss says like this, says something as follows. He says that Chazal are talking about, and I think this is a very important nekuda, Chazal are talking about two different people. There are two different people here. There are some people that when something happens, they are always the first person to run and get involved. They're always busy. They're the first person at the Hatzolah call. They are the first person, you know, they are the chairman of the organization. They are the guest of honor. They're the person who's always there, always involved. right? But sometimes, and again, this is not generalized, but sometimes these people, when it comes to that they might be very proactive, but deep down they don't really feel the tsar, the pain of the other person. They look at a situation as, okay, this is an opportunity for me to be busy, for me to get involved, for me to go and do something. But when it comes to feeling that tsar, feeling that pain of other people, they lack a little bit the sensitivity. On the other hand, right, there are some people who, when a tsar happens, they feel terrible. They feel terrible, they come home, they tell their wife, they cry to their wife, look at the tsaros the people are going through, look at the tsaros the klaiso are going through. When it comes to being proactive, they turn around, they say, you know what, I'm not a go-getter, I can't do anything about it, I'll leave it for other people. So there are some people who have the chanun v'rachum, but they don't have the malbish arumim, they don't have the koivim meisim, they don't have the bikocholim. And there are some people who have the bikocholim, the koivim meisim, the malbish arumim, and they don't have the other aspect, they don't have the other midah of feeling for the tsar. And therefore the Gemara is telling us, says Rav Asher Weiss, the Gemara is telling us that we have to make sure that you have both. The Chazal are telling us that there's the malbish arumim, there's the bikocholim, there's the koivim meisim. Be proactive. Copy from the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be proactive. At the same time, there is the you have to make sure that you're also chanam v'rachum, that you feel the tzad, that you feel the pain also of other people. And that's what we learn from these Gemaras. We have to make sure that we have both of these aspects. We know, and Moshe Weiss goes on to explain, we know that when it comes to Parshas Noach, in Parshas Noach we have the story, the famous story of what happens with Noach after he comes out of the Teva. And we know that he plants the vine and he gets drunk. And his two children, Shem and Yofes, see what goes on. And with the Torah tells us, Shem goes in and Shem covers over his father. And Yofes follows afterwards. So he points out, Rosh Weiss points out, and he says that in life there are two things. There are two middos. What he describes as there's etiquette and there's ethics. Now, what's the difference between etiquette and ethics? Right? The difference is that ethics means that what a person does in their life, what is part of them, these are the ethics. This is how I have to behave. A person knows, I know stealing is wrong. It doesn't make a difference if people are watching me, people are not watching me. I know this is how I have to behave. Right? I know this is wrong. I know this is the right or the wrong way, the wrong mahalach in order to behave. And it doesn't make a difference who's watching me. Even if people laugh at me, even make fun of me, I'm going to behave. There's an ethical way of how to behave. But then he says there's also etiquette. What is etiquette? So etiquette means having derech eretz. Etiquette means behaving amongst other people, how other people behave. Right? And therefore there's a certain right way of acting, right way of behaving. So for example, if I live here, right, and I go out to eat with people, so I'm going to use a knife and fork. If I'm in China, I use chopsticks. If I go to Hasidus Shatish, right, how do I eat? I eat with my hands, right? That's the etiquette of how to behave. How you act and you behave the way other people around you act and behave. And therefore, that is when it comes to etiquette. So they point out that when it comes to shame, shame had ethics. Shame had the middah of ethics that he knew what was right and wrong, and therefore he went and covered over his father. When it came to Yefes, so Yefes, he just followed what Shame did. For him, he wasn't doing things mitam ethics, it was mitam etiquette. Because he saw this is how his brother acted, and therefore that's how he went ahead and did. And it's interesting that Chazal points out that we know that Shem and Yefes were both rewarded, and their reward was midah keneged midah. What was the reward of Shem? Shem got the mitzvah of tzitzis. Tzitzis, which is a beged, right, that goes underneath your clothing. A tzitzis is a mitzvah which is beincha bein asmcha. It's between you, it's for you. It's a beged for you. Yes, we know Re'isa Moisoi, but it's a beged that's for you. Why? Because he was somebody who was an ethic. He had those ethics. And therefore, that was the midah keneged, whereas Yefes was given the mitzvah of kvura. The mitzvah of kvura. Kvura is kovod ames. It's kovod abrius. It's etiquette. It's the way you have to behave. It's a certain. It's not. So it's pasnish to leave a mace there without being buried. That's the difference between shame and yefes. We know there's an eved Hashem. We have to make sure that we have. We bonim lamok, and we have to make sure that we have both. We have to make sure that we have ethics. We have the midas. But we also, of course, behave amongst other people the way we're meant to behave. But we have to make sure that the ethics overrides the etiquette. And sometimes, and again, this is something, an idea that I've been thinking about a lot. When I first heard this, it shook me, because how many times do we do things which are based on the way other people see us or other people think about us? And of course, as we're coming to Rosh Hashanah, we have to think about how we're going to prepare ourselves, that we are pnimius, the pnimius of each person, that we make sure that we are doing the right thing. And it's not just about on the outside making sure that we are we're just following the trend of other people. And again, this is really the idea that we have to make sure it's the chanum v'rachum, it's the pnimius, it's the same idea. It's the chanum v'rachum, like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it's also the malbish arumim. We are proactive, but we make sure that we feel inside, we also feel and we have the pnimius of how we're meant to act and how we're meant to behave towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, this is something that I always find that's very, very true when a person travels, right? Just to share for a few more minutes, when a person travels, you're outside your environment. Right? And I'm not talking about when you come to another community. When a person's on a plane, when a person's traveling, and Baruch Hashem, I've done quite a bit of traveling and some long journeys, and you always, you look around and you see what other people are doing, you know, when they're traveling. Always look at traveling as an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem. I had a story, I'll show you a couple of stories. I had a story a few months ago. I traveled to Eretz Yisrael, and you know, the worst nightmare is, I teach in a high school, and the worst nightmare is that when you're sitting in an airport, you suddenly realize that you've got a whole lot of your students on the same flight as you, right? So there I was in Dubai, right? And I'm traveling back to Melbourne, and I was sitting there, and I had a whole lot of students run up to me, Rav! And I'm saying, oh, no, right? I said, which flight are you on? Yeah, they said, the same one as you. Okay, so it was an opportunity, fine. Now, look, I personally, you know, there's a certain amount of time how much you can sleep on a plane. And I take with me Sforim, right? I didn't realize, 2 days later, I got back into school, and one of the students said to me, did you see the video that was going around? The video was going around? I said, no. So they showed me the video that was going around. The whole plane was dark. There was one light on, and one of the students had videoed me. I was sitting learning Daf Yomi. So you can see everyone else is either watching their screens or asleep. And you see on the plane, one light shining on. And I thought to myself, you know, we have to realize how people are always watching us, right? You never know, people are watching us. I didn't realize they were videoing me, right? And that's something that they'd sent around on their different groups. It taught me an important lesson of how careful one has to be. I told this over to someone, and they said, share with me the following maisa. They said to me there was a businessman who got onto a plane, and he was sitting in business class, first class, and there was a non-Jewish wealthy individual sitting next to him, and he starts trying to schmooze to him, and he says to him, you know, this non-Jewish person was schmoozing to him, and he says to him, no, you know, what are you doing? Are you not watching any movies? You're not watching the screen? You know, what are you doing? So he says, no, he says, you know, I've got my books and I do my thing. He goes, you're telling me you don't switch on the screen? He says, no. So he goes, I don't believe it. So he says, I'll tell you what. At the back of the plane, there was a young, you know, religious student. He says, I'll make you $100 bet that if you go, he is not watching the screen. Now, okay, this is a pretty big, you know. So he says, fine, we'll have a look. They went to the back and they see everyone else's screen was on. And this yeshiva bocha was sitting there with a sefer in front of him, right? It's a tremendous opportunity to be able to, when a person is out of their environment, to remind oneself of how we're meant to behave. One last story, and this is a story that took place 15 years ago with me. And again, this, every time I say over this story, it has a very, very powerful, I think it's a very, very powerful message. So about 15 years ago, I was traveling with four of my kids. They were much younger, under the age of 7 or 8 years old, four kids under the age of 7 or 8 years old. And a guy taps me on the shoulder in the middle of the plane. I think I was going from London to Singapore. He taps me on the shoulder, he says to me, "Are you Jewish?" So I said, "How could you have guessed?" So I said, "Yes." So he says, "Tell me, what are those things that you have on your doorposts?" So I said, "A mezuzah." So he says, "Yeah." He says, "What is it all about?" I said, "Why do you want to know?" So he tells me that he'd spent time in Leeds, and he was part of the Salvation Army, and the Salvation Army took over the Jewish quarter in Leeds. He says, "And I was just staying in a house, and they had one of these things on the door." So I said, "Okay, did you look inside it?" So he goes, "Yes." So I said, "What do you find?" He said, "I found a scroll." I said, "What do you do with it?" He goes, "I got it in my suitcase. So I tell him, I said, he was going on to Perth, he told me. I said, "When you go to Perth, make sure you find a Orthodox rabbi, Orthodox synagogue, and give it into the, hand it in. It's an item of Kiddush, item of holiness. Make sure you treat it properly." So he said to me, "Yeah, but what's it all about?" So I don't know, Kiddush Baruch Hu put these words into my mouth. And I don't know, at the time I said to him, but his answer was, it shook me. I said to him, "You look at me now. I said, look, I'm dressed. When I go dressed the way I'm dressed now. I said, look, you can tell I'm a Jew. It's very easy. You see I'm a Jew. You see I look like a Jew. I have to make sure I behave in a certain way because I'm, everyone knows that I'm watching me. But what happens when I go into, when I come into my own house and I close the door? So we've got these things on the wall to remind us God is always watching us. Wherever we are, we're being watched by God." This is what I answered him. And now he said to me, listen to this. He says to me, "That's amazing." He says, "Because for us in the Salvation Army, we have certain rules. You're not allowed to drink, you're not allowed to smoke. We have a certain rules. But when a few of us, when the mates get together, and when nobody's watching, we close the door, we do whatever we want to do." So, that is the message of the mezuzah. And that is something that is so important for us to remember, that wherever we are in the world, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us. And we have to remind ourselves of that. We have to make sure, as we said, V'halachta bidrachav, not just in our maisim externally, that we, of course, we have to make sure that we help and we do the mitzvahs and we're malbish and we do bikkur cholim and we're koyve maisim. But we also have to make sure the panemius is also matches up. And the same idea, this idea of the ethics and the etiquette. We have to make sure that both the chitzonius and the panemius, that matches up for us. I think this is important for us to remember as we're going into Rosh Hashanah. We're going into Rosh Hashanah, there's often what we do on the outside. There's what we do on the outside, and we're part of a community, and we're part of a tzibur, and we behave in a certain way. But make sure that the panemius also matches. The panemius and the chitzonius match each other. One final idea: we know that when we come to Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we know one of the areas that we show we're Kabbalas al Malchus Shemaim every single day is through Krishma. So I once heard a beautiful idea: why, when it comes to Krishma, do we cover our eyes for Krishma? What's unique? We take a hand, we cover our eyes for Krishma. So the beautiful pshat, that there are two parts of the body that are unique to every single person. And that is one's fingers. No two fingerprints are the same. And no two eyes, pupils, are the same. When it comes to being doing Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, we have to make sure that each one of us in our own way, we are Makabal Sol Malchus Shemayim. We take our hands, we cover over our eyes to show that for us, each one of us, we have our own unique way how we can have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we can be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should be Zeich in a couple of weeks' time. We're coming to Rosh Hashanah. each one of us in our own way, we should be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give each of us a Klal Yisrael should have a Kesiva Chasima Toiva. We should have a good year. We should have a year which is a Hatzlacha Dika year for us, for Yidden all around the world, for Eretz Yisrael. And Mr. Shem, wishing everyone a Kesiva Chasima Toiva.
You're from Melbourne?
Yeah. Sorry?
Goldschmidt.
What's your name?
Ebert.
Oh, yes.
Good. Very nice. My name's Delang.
I think I've seen you before.